Welcome back to the BBL Review Show Part 2, where we break down everything in the men's game. And I'm joined here by BBL presenter, MC Tahir Hajat, along with the London Lions superstar, part-time model?
Part-time model.
And presenter, Azania Stewart. Guys, welcome to the BBL show.
Thank you. Love it.
I'm excited about this conversation because we're going to break down all the storylines that we've seen in the men's game. And Tahir, I'm coming straight to you first because you've gotten a perspective to MC most of the London Lions games this season. So give us some perspective on the culture shift that you've seen from the beginning of the season to where the London Lions are now, where I feel like I see them everywhere.
Well, I guess like from a cultural standpoint, I can't start at the beginning of this season because I started working kind of towards the end of last season, different roster, but you know, the investment kind of started around that point, and no, there weren't many fans in the stands. You know, it was a little bit tricky, but as the time has elapsed, you know, we've got a real understanding now of how to get the fan who's new to the game educated and involved in the game.
Yeah.
You know, before every single game, I'll ask in the crowd, you know, make some noise if you're a new fan here. And, you know, at least 60% every game makes some noise. Even at Crystal Palace in the playoffs, same thing, we still had a large amount of people making some noise. One thing is clear, one thing is evident. Once educated, the fans get into the game. Not on top of that, they're selling merchandise. Again, a lot of people coming to return. The word is spreading about the London Lions. And yeah, it's going from strength to strength. Now, from a playing perspective, I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of conversations about the London Lions team, but it's developed tremendously, especially since head coach Ryan Schmidt has taken control of the helm, and everything around the club seems to be moving in a positive direction. You know, it's not just myself, obviously, being there. Z now stepping up to comms, she would have also had the opportunity to see that from a different view as well. It's been a great experience to see that growth.
Yeah, and merchandise, I'm going to plug myself. Have you seen the Azania Stewart t-shirt yet? I'm just saying, if you don't own one, I'll get you
did
one.
Did you not bring me one?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And I need one of those jackets.
You know what?
Soon.
They're sold out. I'm just saying the Azania Stewart t-shirt sold the best. Better than Deca, better than
it
Josh Sharma.
Because I went online to go get one previous to this and it was out of stock.
Well, look, this is one of the things that have done really well. Marketed themselves to a very high level, and their content and the exclusivity of some of the aspects of the game, you know, the courtside elements and so on and so forth, bringing influencers to the game. You know, maybe we don't get the full attention of that we want from the influencer, but at the end of the day, having them there is going to share the word about British basketball. And if it convinces just one more person to come and buy a ticket, you know, that then we're all for that, without a doubt.
And the coolest thing about it is being able to get a female's perspective on a male's game. So I love being able to see your growth as a commentator presenter this year. That must have been a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, no, it has been really fun. And you're right, to see the men's game, there's obviously a lot of similarities, right? But obviously the athletic ability to be able to dunk, to bring that energy into the building. And I feel like that they've merged the two teams together really well. You know, we're doing double headers, we're bringing in the fans. The men's team support us greatly, and so do we. We see each other a lot, and so that's really nice, a nice mix. So it's been a really fun year, and to play at the Copper Box, and then even bringing it to the south side of London, going to
Dirty South
to Crystal Palace was fantastic. We put on a great show, both teams won, and it was a really good day out.
Well, I want to stay with you because speaking of Copper Box, the Sheffield Sharks are one of the very few teams to come out of there victorious. And obviously, you got a chance to commentate on it. And we've talked about the Sheffield Sharks all season long. They started the season 0-4, followed up by a four-game winning streak. And then they go backdoor that with a five-game losing streak. And then they finish off the season winning 9 out of their 10 games. So they've been the ultimate case of Jekyll and Hyde. But we've seen the evolution from Atiba Lions of reshaping that roster. And just from your perspective, what difference did you see out of the Sharks?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I think it was the inconsistency. They were so up and down. They couldn't get themselves going at the right time. But what I saw, I did commentate that game, and they went with this crazy style, which I've never seen scouting wise. They took one shot and nobody hit the rebounding boards. They ran back straight away. And in the end, ultimately, it worked. But throughout commentary, I was like, what are they doing? Why are they not going for offensive rebounds? And that was it. I think that really won them the game. They stuck to their scout. And that's the thing, you know, I would know because we're number one on the women's side. But on the men's side, you're always getting every team's best performance. They don't have off nights. But when you're playing the number one team, they come in, they're gunning, they're ready for you. So that's what happens on the men's side too. And with the league getting so just, you know, up and coming and great players, anyone can beat London Lions. And obviously they're the team to beat, but the Sharks showed that they are beatable.
Yeah, indeed. And the last hottest topic of the season is the battle between my Plymouth City Patriots, formerly Plymouth Raiders, my former team, and my Newcastle Eagles. It hurts me to see my two former teams duking it out for eighth, but was it more about the resurgence of the Newcastle Eagles, or was it about the drop-off by the Plymouth City Patriots?
Look, you gotta say Newcastle Eagles did a great job to kind of get their roster in a place where things were a little bit more consistent. They started to kind of understand one another's game, play to each other's strengths, and then start to make some results happen. You know, for Plymouth, it was always going to be a tough season. You know, they're just getting back off the ground, off the change of the name, the change of the franchise. And, you know, they had a really tough rotation when it came to players in and out. They lost some big names. So it was really an important moment for Newcastle Eagles to come into that strength, that win, just then to kind of take to the lead. And, you know, I said it on social media, people didn't like it. But, you know, it was better that Plymouth City Patriots sit this playoffs out.
I agree.
You know, and for them, it's all right. Go back now. Let's just refresh everything. We've had a good season. Like, it's been steady. We didn't finish bottom, you know. And, you know, let's figure out all the other parts that we need to do to make sure that the club's in a better position for next year. And we go from there. And I think, you know, it happened because it's supposed to happen that way. And I think they'll come back really strong next season. Hopefully a lot of off-court things fall in place for them. And for the Eagles, it was nice for them to get a taste of playoffs again. And that taste in their mouth will definitely lead to the Eagles and the infrastructure that's now continuing to grow around them to get them back to where they need to be.
We're going to move things along, and I'm going to put both of you guys under the gun because we're going to be more specific about the players of the league and get to a little bit of a speed round. To kick things off, game on the line. Who's taking the last shot?
Pat Whelan?
I'm going to go with Sloan.
Sloan, bro. Oh,
I mean, that's easy.
I mean, it's a quick fire, yeah. So here we go. Yeah.
Was it just on your Instagram feed just a minute ago?
That's the last thing fresh in your mind?
No, I was at the game.
Okay.
Seen it fresh. Okay. You know, you make the finals and you'll see it.
Okay, well, I'm coming back to you then. Who got the best handles?
Jelani Watson Gale?
Yes, okay.
I'll go Fletch. Fletch Money.
How could we go wrong with Fletch? We know Azania likes to come out with the drip, but in the men's game, who got the best drip?
That's a tough one.
You're supposed to be under
pressure. I'm
gonna
go first.
I'm under pressure.
Josh Ward-Hibbert, because me and him be battling that out for best dress.
Who you got?
I'm gonna have to go with someone like, I don't know, Taj Green or someone like that. I feel like I really wasn't prepared for that question, But Taj Green, from what I see,
it's a speed round. No more needs to be said. No, right. Okay, because obviously we're on the BBL show and we're in front of the cameras and I feel like I see you guys in front of cameras every week. Which player has the best TV personality that's made for TV that you could see being in the seats that we currently sit in? Go.
Tomislav Zubtić.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, that is a...
That's a great one, actually.
That's
a great personality.
That's a solid pick right there. I'll go with someone... Actually, go Sam Decker on this one. He's very professional in front of camera.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
And he's subtle. Sometimes he just has a little spink of Burberry just right there on the collar. Love that. All right, best footwork.
I'm going to go London Lions. Kind of hard. Either Oni or Justin... Why is it not coming? Gordon.
Justin. Oh, I like that. Justin Jordan. Who you got?
Justin Jordan. We'll go with that then. I think I'm going to go with like a true big. I think somebody like a Darren Nelson Henry. I think Costa had incredible footwork. Yes. Unfortunately, not in the league at the moment. So I'll say Costa, if we count that. That's great. If not, then big shout out to the big 50, Darren.
I'll give both of them. Okay, best shooter.
Pat Whelan.
Pat Whelan.
I'm going to go Aaron Best on this one. Or Mo Salawade. I'm going to go Mo Salawade, sorry. Yeah. Mo Salawade hardly misses. He plays a few minutes, and when he comes in, he's on target.
All right, to finish this thing up, who got the best hops in the men's league? Who have you seen on the top 10?
Sharma, man.
Sharma.
We can't say the same. I said it first. You got to say something else now.
And you know what? You know what? We will leave it there because we all concur that it's Josh Sharma. Who else could we vote for? Great job, guys.
Appreciate that.
That's just the appetizer. Now we get to the main ingredients as we break this thing down and we get to the team of the year. So we got 10 players that we've been able to shortlist to this group down to, and obviously it was a tough choice. We left some names out, but it is what it is. And so now we have to select our BBL show team of the year. And then you can see there on the screen our selections. We start things off with Leicester Riders' Zach Jackson, followed by London Lions star Sam Dekker. We also have Bristol Flyers' main man, VJ King, and also Manchester Giants' Dirk Williams.
Perfect. And then I have Aaron Best from London Lions, also London Lions, good old Kostas Koufos, and then from the Gladiators, David Sloan.
Back to the bone, David Sloan. Over here, we got Taj Green, the Green Giant, Larry Austin Jr., the Oliver Twist of the Cheshire Phoenix, Mark Lovin, name says it all, and Marcus Evans over there on the far side.
I love that little sauce you put on all those names.
Well, look, first, I want to give some honorable mentions. I think it's important. Now, we missed out a couple of guys here that I think need a shout out. Tomislav Zubcic, my opinion, he should be up there. He's a fantastic season. And also, just from a pure entertainment perspective, I love what he's done this season. The Wang Gang, Paddy at Wang. Mr. Wu-Tang Wang, I'm sad he's not able to make the cut, but big shout out to those two guys. But I do think it could be elimination time unless you have honorable mentions.
I agree.
I'm going to, nobody else, but I'm going to start this off.
Let's go.
Start
let's
the
get,
smoke
let's
heavy,
get right,
right? I think Kostas Koufos only because unfortunately he couldn't finish the full season. And I don't think that is fair to everyone else who's finished the season. Fantastic footwork, like we said, great big man. London Lions based a lot of their offense around it. Enjoyed commentating him this year, but I'm happy to move him to the left.
Well, wait 1 minute. Oh, wait 1 minute because he's played most of the season. And then if we're gonna go there, we can argue about Sam Dekker because he's missed so much time because of injuries. So it's tough, isn't it? I mean,
a very tough situation. I completely agree with you. Kostas is only one of the few bigs that we've got on the table as well. So if you're putting together a five, I mean, I'd love to see a big in there. And it'd be tough to do that.
Okay, I like that. And I love post players, so I stand corrected. He's staying.
Well, let me get the party started and I will eliminate the first nominee. And I'm gonna go with Marcus Evans, and that's not because he doesn't have game or anything, but when you sit him amongst these other faces, obviously he's top three in steals. But if you look at all the other statistical categories, he doesn't stand out. So I will kindly, if you guys agree,
I completely agree.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're on the same page.
Big shout out to
Sorry, Marcus. You know I love your game. You're a defensive
Well,
specimen.
Congratulations to him for making it on this so far. Okay, who else are we going to go for?
I think it's an important conversation about the Riders right now.
Yeah.
We've got Zach Jackson and we got Mark Loving. Mm. Now, look, arguably a two and a three, but if you're looking at the table right now and you have to pick just one of them, who are you going for, Drew?
Well, that's a great question because if Leicester Riders finish second, that means one of them have to be in the top five, right? Okay, so you're telling me I got to choose between Zach Jackson and Mark Lovin, which is a tough choice because they finished 0.2 from one another on points per game. But we're getting to the stage where it's all about the analytics, but I'm still old school. I'm about the eye test. I watch these guys play a lot of games, and the guy that always pops off my screen and step up when the game calls is Action Jackson. So without further ado, if we're going to keep a Leicester riding in the top five, he must go first. So I'm not saying that Mark Lovin is out of there, but we got to scoot him towards the top.
But we'll keep him there for a second.
I mean, there's no reason why we can't have two riders players in the top. You have to think about it with the roster that they had this season and the challenges that they had this season to still finish in the second position, to still be battling for trophies at this moment in time. And these guys take a bulk of the load as well, not to, you know, disregard any of the other players. I think there is an argument to have them both around. Maybe one of these other players can knock them out.
Let's see. Well, let's do this, Z, since you commentate most of the games. Who else do you think deserves to be in this circle of trust, this top five, where we only have four more options? Who pops off the screen?
It's getting warmer over here. obviously, massive Taj Green, the play of the year, I think, the throw off the board, dunk, crazy fest.
Well, can I just say, I've seen so many people now be doing that in games. We couldn't do that before, but hey, you know, we'll move with the league.
But I think I'm going to go with Money Sloan. David, because I feel like, one, that he was tremendous, obviously hit that huge shot for them to win their first trophy, and especially for coach
Gareth.
And so I just think he's been solid for them. And when he plays well and he does his thing and the team goes and he's an engine. So I'm just going to put it right here because you two have been picking on me. So just...
I think you're starting to get the eye contact. Yeah. And I like what you did there. You scooted him halfway in, not all the way in. Gives us room to wiggle, right? Okay. So... T, let's come to you.
I think, you know, look, Sloan's been really important and pivotal for Gladiators over the season. Has he been as consistent as he would like to have been? Probably not. But I think that will come with experience, that will come with time, and he could be a big role player for this team. I think if we're then talking about the All-Star 5, we've got to pick between Larry Austin Jr. and Sloan. Now, defensively, Larry Austin Jr. has been incredible for the Cheshire Phoenix. Their whole ethos has been around defense, and they've done some great stuff this season. But, you know, I think if I'm, you know, wanting to see a big-time play, Larry Austin Jr. is going to provide those dunks, but David Sloan is probably going to give you the cutting edge to win the game. And if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably pick David Sloan at this moment in time and eliminate Mr. Larry Austin Jr.
It's getting hot in here.
We agreed?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Move on.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Sensational, I can't say.
He makes our second of our five.
Yeah, right? He's like the second team.
Yeah. Bulldog, like, aggressive, got heart, love that guy. But let's just make this easier and start to condense this thing.
Yeah, we need to get savage.
Do I need to say more?
Yes.
I mean, is this even a question? Sam Decker.
Yes. And I think this picture says it all.
I mean, look at that face, fierce.
Unbelievable, one of the best talents we've had in this league ever, and some people believe he's the best talent we've ever had in this league altogether. You know, some of these caliber of players don't often come around, and obviously Lyon's in a position to be able to bring him into the league. It's incredible that he's here with us. He's doing so much for the game, and when he's fit and when he's fighting, you know, the London Lyons are within a very high percentage of winning the game.
And leading in points per game from Euro Cup did very well.
Yes. After starting the season with 5 points and and what were they in Israel, Tel Aviv with an ankle injury and still leading that league and scored, that's phenomenal. And he's been the face of the league and embraced it. So he has the whole package. Let's scoot him in there. But I wanna talk about this guy right here because the Bristol Flyers finished tied with Leicester Riders on points difference. They actually finished third, but their best season today was just announced that they will be entering Europe next year. This guy's led the team in scoring. You know, went to the same high school as LeBron James, has a hell of a resume, 5-star, played at Louisville. What's your thoughts? Is he in the circle of trust or where you guys are with him?
I think it's cruel to not include any Bristol player in this final five here. I think VJ King is definitely, you know, 18 points per game. He's put a lot of minutes on the court as well. And I think he's been relatively consistent for the Flyers this season. And without him, would they be in that position? I don't think so.
No. And I think that picture is telling. The fans behind him have been fantastic. Yeah. And he's one of the main reasons. So he gets Oh, guys, come on. Okay. We can only have five.
Oh, yeah, I know. So let's do this then. Let's go Manchester Giants, because if we say we can only choose from for the Riders, firstly is the question, does the Giants get involved in there when they had, I feel like maybe they underachieved, but we got Taj Green, Dirk Williams, both big-time scorers. If we had to choose one so we can eliminate, who are we going with out of these two here?
I think it's hard to have that conversation without putting this man over here as well.
Ooh, man, okay.
It's a three-way conversation. Okay. You know, Mark Loving has been, you know, exceptional for the Riders. Taj Green and Dirk Williams play on a very high-scoring team, right, which gives them the stat lines that they have. But their win-loss record just isn't the same.
Yeah.
And for me, in this position, it's hard to deny Mark Loving that opportunity.
Yeah.
I think as soon as we have that conversation, potentially get rid of these two guys, you then start to talk about this conversation, Aaron Best and Mark Loving. Well, Sam Dekker, of course, had moments out this season. Mie Ioane wasn't around for whole of the season, but who picked up the slack? Canadian international, the best, Aaron Best.
Yes.
And he made a big difference to the Lions roster this year.
I would agree with you. And I always use the pun, he is actually playing his best basketball when it really counted. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he stepped up, he hit crucial shots for London Lions, a solid, stone cold face. He doesn't show much emotion, but he just is lasered in. He comes into work very hard. And this is a key player for London Lions. Yeah. Obviously, you've got the Sharmas, you've got the Deckers, but you need the solid Aaron Best kind of crew.
And I agree with you guys, because he stepped up when needed. He was the only one when London Lions went through that turmoil and had those injuries. He carried them through the BBL, and many people probably don't remember. He had a stretch where he carried them to a couple of victories on the road. So, what are we doing here? Let's get a quick word here. So what are we doing here as we wrap this
up? I think
thing
at
up?
This moment we're playing small ball. It's evident, yeah, right?
And so I think we need a post player.
No, I don't think we will. We're going without the post player on this one, Z. No offense to the centers.
But I said at the beginning of the jump, move to the left.
Yeah, you did.
I think
so
he was just,
listen to me.
Okay, listen to Z.
Yep.
Listen to Z. Right.
But led the league in rebounding, top five in blocks, phenomenal great season, man. Great guy.
Somebody to follow your game from. Hit fantastic. Mwah. Goodbye.
I love you.
Okay, this is getting difficult, I'm not going to lie, because
well,
stressing me out a little bit.
Well, look.
How many we got now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So we have top of the league, second, third. Caledonia was fourth. So Tahir said Manchester Giants didn't finish high enough. They finished seventh, I believe.
So are we scrapping these two?
I want to do things really pretty quite quickly, and I would do that quite simply like this.
Hold on.
You can bring it back if you want to, but that's what I would do.
Well, Zaina, do you know that he lives in Leicester? The fans might think he might be a little bit
biased.
Shout out to Taj. And Dirk Williams.
Yes.
To the left, to the left. And Best, sorry, you were trying to throw him away and I grabbed him back. But, okay, so where are we at right now? How many we got? Are we going with this? Is this what we're doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Is what I'm thinking.
Oh, wow,
at this moment in time. Now, let's take positions out of this. This is a positionless pick right here at this moment in time. Now, as I said, look, for me, you know, can the London Lions be successful without Aaron Best? Mm. Let me ask you the same questions. Mm. Can the London Lions be successful without Mark Loving?
No, Leicester Riders, you mean?
Yeah. Can the Leicester Riders be successful without Mark Loving?
It's okay, I got you. No.
This is tough, guys. I'm not even going to lie to you.
What do we do? Get out crunch numbers? Do we fan favorite? Do we vote?
We just go with our heart.
The word is Hooper's intuition.
Okay, and my Hooper's intuition, which I have greatly, and so do you.
Yeah.
I'm maybe a little bit biased.
The disrespect, by the way, the Hooper's intuition.
You know what?
Can I just make an executive decision and wrap this thing up?
Go.
You know, I played in the men's league, so why not put, you know what? It takes pressure off you guys on the socials, because you know they're coming.
Yeah.
I'll take that, because I'm built for it. You know what?
Decide for us, please.
Decide for us?
Go.
I got you.
Yeah, hit me.
Skrrt!
Wow! So, David Sloan. Oh.
I mean, it's done. He said executive, right?
Yeah.
The BBL show, main man.
He's the boss man. Shake my
hand. You talked me into Mark Loving because he wasn't originally in my circle of trust. You talked me into it.
Drew, I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know what? I'm a guy of the underdog that people don't talk about. No one talks about Aaron Bess. He got better over the course of the season. Right. He held the fort down for not two games, for a stretch.
Yeah.
We saw David Sloan when he had a stretch when they brought in some new players. He kind of went quiet. And, you know, his number's 17 a game, but not as efficient.
Okay. Boys, I'm happy with this. I'm not going to lie. I'm happy with
that. I can sleep well at night with this. What about you?
I don't know if I can sleep well at night. I think it's going to be still playing on my mind at the end of this. But based on the discussions that we've had in this room, I think it's a solid decision that we've come to at this moment in time.
And both teams in semi-final.
Without a doubt. And the Bristol Flyers.
Everyone is still in. That's a great point. That is a great point. And I think we'll finish this thing up by saying this, because we know there will be some people that will be angry, including some players. But look what it ultimately comes down to. Winning.
Playoff basketball.
Winning. Top three players. They're in a tough league, the toughest it's ever been. Still remains in the competition. And if you're upset, get your weight up and win. And we'll leave it there. All right, guys, so I know picking a team of the year was extremely stressful, but with every great player lies a great coach, and we get to the coaches. And we have our finalists here, Gareth Murray from the Caledonia Gladiators, Andreas Kapoulis from the Bristol Flyers, and then also we have Ryan Schmidt from the London Lions. And you looking a little bit antsy, like
I'm saying this is juicy.
This is juicy.
I love these coaches. I've had moments with them all. Obviously, I commentate, and wow, putting these three out, I'm kind of happy, but also in my head, who I voted for is in on the table. So I'm going to let you go first, darling.
Well, I'm going to remove all the juice. I'm going to provide some precipitation on. You know, I'm going to remove all the moisture from the room. There's only one winner. It's Ryan Schmidt. There's only one winner. These guys.
Straight to the
Kapoulis,
money.
Kapoulis, great season. Wow. Fantastic. Well done. No trophies. Gareth Murray won a trophy. Great job with the Caledonia Gladiators. But when you have the level of talent that the London Lions have on their team, it comes with personality. It comes with challenges. It comes with a lot of responsibility, and the calmest man, apart from when he's talking to the referees, like every coach in this league, right? The calmest man on the court is this man right here. Ryan Schmidt is on the money every single time, where the Lions, if they've come to a game-winning decision, he's drawn up the right play, up to the players if they make that play or not. Ryan's has been done the right thing. Cup, league, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I am neutral. Let's be really clear about this. Lions are going to get through to that final. It's going to be easy money for them because of this man right here.
Wow. Well, gee, that spiel definitely persuaded me. I think.
Deserves an Emmy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because I definitely had the bearded beast, Coach Gareth, because I just feel like it's his first season as a coach. Gets his team to win a trophy, and I just felt like he's done a tremendous job. But then after that Oscar winning performance,
and the award goes to,
I just think you're so right. I think men's basketball is so difficult. There's egos involved. There's a lot of, you know, ups and downs. Let's talk about, you know, London Lions had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of new players involved, and really the most, I would say, resilient man.
I
really called him that, to deal with how many ups and downs and to be where he is. I'm going Mr. Ryan Schmidt. So that means 2-1, unless you're going to change your mind.
Well, I mean, both of you guys deserve your award, and on stage right now, giving out your speech. And you know what? I'm with you guys for everything that you guys just mentioned. Right on the money, navigating through a Euro Cup, a difficult Euro Cup, schedule, which you can attest to, you went through it yourself, and then also not taking the BBL for granted and taking care of business there. The most impressive thing for me when I went on a trip with them to Greece is I was so amazed by the character of that group, because you see the resumes and you automatically think, oh, he's this, he has an ego, he's here, he's played in the NBA. They were all cool, and the culture of that team was amazing, and it has to be somebody that leads that, right? So it has to be Coach Smith. So I agree with you. Just a quick word on Coach Capoulos, because an amazing season. I think if they would have finished second, even though they tied, maybe he gets my vote, but I just want to give him a shout out because he's evolved. I've seen him improve as a coach, and now the Bristol Flyers are flying literally. But as you guys mentioned, Ryan Smith, no ifs, and buts about it. And that's our coach of the year. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we get to the nitty-gritty, the creme of the crop, the top of the class, the MVP award, the most prestigious award in the British Basketball League. We got our top five here. Tahir, I'm starting with you.
Firstly, a very underwhelming MVP choice selection this year.
Wow, tell me more, please.
I think, how entertaining was Gino Crandall for the past two seasons?
Yeah.
How do you follow that?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you follow that? He changed the game. He changed it. You know, we have to make a decision, and you know, I'm happy to do that. You know, but it's all about winners. It's all about talent. It's all about the wow factor.
Hold on. Wait a minute, because I don't like his tone. You built up this crescendo with Gino Crandell, then you got to, and he was like, well, is this guy's, look at this.
I'm looking at this, but once again, it's underwhelming.
Okay.
From a British Basketball League fan perspective, I'm well and truly underwhelmed by the, not the caliber of our talent here.
What's his Twitter handle, by the way?
At Tahir Hajar, at me, my dog.
At me.
Look, I'm not no Sunday night breakdown. I can't watch every single game, right? But at the same time, what's really important to me is I need to have that feeling inside of you. When you're watching somebody play live, I've watched all of these guys play live, you're watching and you have that feeling inside of you that someone makes you go, wow, or damn, or screw you. Sucking on a lemon, screw my face up, right? And you think, and this man does that, without a doubt.
Okay.
I think, look, it's not pretty the way he wins an MVP award. Yeah. He's had a lot of injuries. He's not paid, his average is about 25 minutes per game. But look, you can't deny the undeniable ability to score the ball when it's in his hands and it's the game is flowing. You know that Sam Decker, you put it in his hand, he's gonna make something happen. He's gonna pull a three, or he's just gonna pull up, sneaky reverse, bang, on your head, top. Sam Decker, without a doubt. VJ King, mashallah, my brother, unfortunately not. Mark Levin had a tough season, maybe inconsistent, very small spells throughout the season. Zach Jackson, tough cookie. Is he a wow guy? No. Aaron Best, kept it up when Sam was out. Sam Decker.
Well, I'm not going to come with the smoke, Drew. I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to agree.
Okay.
And say, Sam, Mr. Decker, lovely man. I've spoken to him and his family. And I just think a walking bucket. I think when his team needs something, he knows how to get to the rack. He shoots the three well. And I just think he's done very well. Obviously injuries, but you can't help that. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
And it's just I'm glad to see that he's come back from those injuries. And he's back into the game for the playoffs at the perfect time. I am going to give this year's MVP to Sam Decker. Boom.
We've done 2v1 again, haven't we?
We're picking on you.
Well, I would love to build up some suspense for the audience because they've stuck with this list long. But I'm sad to let you guys know there is no suspense. I'm right with you guys because, I mean, what is there to argue? You talk about the wow factor. I know that I was going to my telly. Is that how you guys said in the UK? Telly. I was going to my telly to make sure I could get me a little bit of Sam Decker every time he was on the television. And I was never disappointed. Did you watch the Cup Finals when it was nip and tuck between the London Lions and the Leicester Riders? And he comes on with a bum ankle and just, boom, a quick 4 points, then a baseline jam to seal the deal. And there was also a point where his plus minus was 14. Every time he was on the court, he was 14 points better than any other lineup, which far exceeded any other player in the league. And it's just, I mean, I would love to give you, you know, something lovely, but, you know, like you said, Azania, just keep it simple. And Sam Decker, he transformed the lead. He's 6'9", post up, check, pass, check, shoot, check. When have you ever seen someone 6'9 who can run the pick and roll in the British Basketball right. League? Never.
And then also just bring in his NBA experience. I feel like we've seen a little bit sprinkles, different players, but just a full package. And has come in and just a well-rounded guy. Go ahead.
I think there was just one thing that we discussed earlier, actually off the camera, and it was Sam's defensive capabilities. Mm. Now, can you pick out one play this season where Sam has defensively done something that you've thought, wow? I think you'll find very limited opportunities to do that. But then again, that's not, you know, that's not the lead of his game. That's not his main area of strength. Not saying he can't defend. I'm just saying that's probably one of the only reasons why anybody could potentially doubt him is not his inability to defend. It's maybe he doesn't show it as flamboyantly as others, or he's not as aggressive as other defenders.
Well, that's why you have four other teammates to do that, okay? Josh Sharma blocked the shots, he scores, and that's...
Play your role. Yeah.
Sounds like Z knows that role very well.
You know what, guys? This was a blast. I could do this all day. Z, it was great to finally get you in the mix. We've waited all season to get your
best till last.
Yes, exactly that. Speaking of last, as we reach the end of the season, as we prep for the finals at the O2, currently on recording, we don't know who will be there, but we know it will be exciting. But this has been such a fun season from episode one all the way to where we are now. But we appreciate everyone out there for sticking with us, tuning in all season long. And you better believe that we're just gonna bring you more smoke in season four. I say that, but until then, guys, enjoy the off season. Go get some rest. Where you going? Italy?
Mexico, actually.
Mexico.
2 days right after final.
Wow. Well, make sure you fit us in your suitcase, because we need a little off season too, because we've been working hard as well.
There's a retirement party I'll invite you after, okay?
See all that? See, while you guys be resting, I'll be digging in deep to British basketball culture, Ball Out UK, Hoops Fix. It's all happening. This summer's gonna be a mad thing for all of the British basketball community out there. So while the BBL sleeps, the rest of the country goes on, my friends.
And you know what? Let us know how it is. We'll be checking you out on the socials, because while she in Mexico, I'll be having my feet up as well. But until then, guys, we'll catch you guys next season. We don't know the location. We don't know the time. All we can tell you is that we will be here on the show.
The show!